Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Yes, indeed. You are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show with your host, Brother James Brown, Jr. And we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yes, indeed, once again, I'm going to ask all listeners, please get your Bibles, get your papers, get your pens ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of Deacon Marvin Cox, will be delivering God's word on tonight. Before he do that, he always shares an inspirational poem. So he's going to be bringing forth God's word on tonight once again. So you're going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper, so you can follow along with him as we go through God's word together on tonight. We always open up with prayer, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What an awesome, mighty God we serve. I'm asking all listeners at this time, would you please pray with me? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like. You don't slumber, you don't sleep. We thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie. You cannot fail. You cannot change. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. So now, Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my guest speaker, Marvin Cox, and his entire family, and every listener on tonight, and every faithful doer of your word on tonight, Heavenly Father, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his precious blood that redeems us. We are forgiven when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and that's to be forgiven of our sins in his name. So now, Lord, we just thank you again for who you are. We bless your name on tonight. We ask that you would move by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. We ask that you would move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, like never before in the earth, because so many people are losing their family members and loved ones due to this virus that has come upon the land. Your word says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, you said that then you will hear from heaven, and you will heal the land. So now, Lord, we ask that you would move by your spirit on tonight, because so many people have lost loved ones due to this virus. I'm lifting up Pastor Kenneth Harris, as he, the pastor of Detroit Bible Tabernacle here in Detroit. He's lost his wife on yesterday due to the virus, Sister Ruthie Harris. We lift up him and his entire family and the Detroit Bible Tabernacle Church family. We continue to lift up my sister, Janetta Burney, who's also dealing with the virus, and thank God she's at home right now. And she's recovering. And we thank God we lifted my cousin, Herman King Jr., his youngest daughter, is suffering with the virus at home. We lifted her up in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only them, but everyone that's dealing with this virus that has been affected by the virus all over the land, Heavenly Father. Comfort and strengthen those that have lost loved ones due to the virus. Not only due to the virus, but comfort and strengthen the loved ones all over the land that have lost loved ones. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, let them know and remember that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, we know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders, so we ask that you would continue to touch and heal and strengthen the people in Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that are dealing with illness and sickness all over the land. We know that you know who they are, and you know where they are, and you know how to touch them, and we know that you are our healer. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are already healed. We are healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, that you would have mercy upon us once again in the name of Jesus, and that should there be anyone listening on tonight that is not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, our hope, and desire that something will be said on tonight that will prick their hearts to the point that they will open their own mouth even on tonight and confess their sins, and ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight, that you would be glorified, and after they are saved, you will show them what their God purpose is in the earth, and they will fulfill it for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So help us now, Lord, to decrease so that you may increase in us, that you alone will be glorified. We thank you, Heavenly Father, again for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, because we know that we don't deserve it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for him and his great work that he has done. It gives you glory. Now he's sitting at your right hand making intercessions for the saints of God on tonight. We bless your name on tonight because you're truly worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's scripture proof of thought comes to us saying, Jesus' sinless blood still saves and works today. Once again, tonight's scripture proof of thought, Jesus, his sinless blood still works. It still saves, and it works today. So someone needs to be encouraged by that tonight, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, again, his blood still works, and it will never lose its power. So right now we're going to go to our music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. And I do pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, because, again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's Word. Enjoy the music break.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. Thought I was the devil.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What an awesome song. I love this song. And it's also a reminder on tomorrow, Sunday, this coming Sunday, after being in the grave for 3 days, 3 nights, Jesus rose from the dead with all power over victory, and the victory over death, hell, and the grave in his hands. He had the keys of death in his hands. He rose from the dead. He sacrificed his life for you and for me and for mankind because he loved us so much. First of all, he loved God the Father, our Creator. He loved him first. That's why he sacrificed his life, because if he had not done what he did for us, then we would not have a chance. We would have been doomed. We would have been all hell. We all would have been hell bound. So we thank God for Jesus, his son, that he sacrificed his own life. He paid our sin debt with his own sinless blood on the cross, that we could be all redeemed. Those that choose to be redeemed, it's a choice. You don't have to choose. You can choose not to be redeemed and saved in Jesus' name, but you do have an option. The door is open, and God is, and Jesus is not the type that they will force themselves upon you. You have to open up your heart and open the door and let him in. And remember this, that God is everyone's father. He's not everyone's our father. He's everyone's creator. He becomes your father once you become saved in Jesus' name. And the only way that you can be saved is in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. So I pray that you enjoy the music break. So right now we are ready for the word from Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. Again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. I hope you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Wow, Brother Brown, that song kind of busted me up because it's pertaining to tonight's lesson, and it's put me back in touch with the sacrifices that was made. You thought that I was worth saving, and it's a more than appropriate song for tonight's lesson. Once again, it's my greatest pleasure to be able to bring forth God's word to you, to be one of those chosen vessels on this particular night, on this particular day, on the eve of his resurrection. I've heard many people say it's a celebration, but it's more of a commemoration, because a celebration is a festive event. A commemoration is more when you memorialize somebody or when you memorialize something, either past or present, that had a significant impact upon your life. Now, the song, the poem, and the lesson is all pertaining to what Brother Brown alluded to. Now, the song is That Same Man. And I want you to think with me as well as pray with me while I bring this poem to you. It's called That Same Man. That same man that you praised yesterday, and that very same man that you now want to slay. The very same man that brought so much joy to your heart is now the one that you want to depart. From out of your presence, and out of your sight only because he stood for what is right. Kill him, kill him. Nail him to the cross. He exposed me as a fraud, and I can't take the loss. He gave the world all that he could give, and for his love and understanding, he doesn't deserve to live. They beat him all night long only because he told them what was wrong. On his truthful tongue, we all can rely, and for telling me the truth, this man needs to die. He told me about myself and my sinful ways. Then he x-rayed my heart with his heavenly gaze. He saw evil in every corner. Yes, my evil was intense. Yet he uttered not a word in his own defense. He was guilty of nothing except for loving us so. He laid down his life so that we all may know that reconciliation with God is his only plan. And there's no need in the world to keep crucifying that man. So examine yourself before you think ill of others, and see not strangers, but needful sisters and brothers. And this can only happen when you realize that it's true, that that very same man died on the cross for you, you, and especially you. Amen. I'll now go immediately into the lesson, and our lesson tonight is Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 46, and I'm reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. Your publication may be slightly different than mine, but it reads, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even as to death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand, doth betray me. I've just read unto you from the Gospel recorded by St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 46. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Tonight's lesson is, well, we know it's concerning the resurrection, but before I get started, I'd like to bring forth an observation, and we're living in troubled days and we're living in troubled times. And my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to watch as well as pray, for the simple reason that there's some strange things that are going on, some things that we have not witnessed before. and I'd like to share something with you because there's a move right now that's like they tried to eliminate the Lord. They tried to kill him, but it's a move right now going forth with this coronavirus and all the things that's going on. It's a move out there to tear down the church. I know it's been there for a long time, and the reason I say that is because I don't know whether you noticed or not, but now it is officially illegal to attend church services. Even in the parking lot of churches, they're looking to write citations and they're looking writing tickets. And in Louisville, Kentucky, they said that you will be arrested. So we cannot allow this move to gather any momentum at all. We can't allow this because we're living in a panic. We're living in a situation now that, man, our governments, all these things are trying to dictate to us, and it's best to err on the side of safety. I mean, I wouldn't recommend going against the law, but keep your mind and your heart focused on Jesus. Now, our topic for tonight is redemptive suffering for you, with the emphasis on you. And for those that don't know, redemptive suffering is the belief that suffering when accepted and offered up in union with the passion of Jesus Christ can remit the just punishment for one's sins or for the sins of another, or for the other physical or spiritual needs of oneself or another, like an indulgent, redeeming, redemptive suffering does not give the individual forgiveness for their sin. Forgiveness results from God's grace, freely given through Christ, which we know that it cannot be earned. After one's sins are forgiven, the individual's suffering can reduce the penalty due for sin. So, to make a long story short, the Lord was standing in the gap for us. He was doing the things that the song that was just played a few minutes ago, all the things he thought I was worth saving, he died for, he sacrificed for us so that I could be free, so that I could tell everyone about him. So this is what the redemptive suffering is concerning tonight. It's concerning a voluntary thing. Now, sometimes we go through things and it don't be through a volunteer. It don't be because it's something that we want to do. But the Lord told his Father before he came down to earth, he said, because God was looking for someone to redeem man. He was looking for someone to reconcile man. But all the patriarchs of old, they were flawed. Moses, he was disobedient unto what the Lord said. We know that Abraham, wise man. You know, we know that Solomon. We know that all the patriarchs, they had problems. I'll put it that way. And God said to his son, said, because there was no God found with him. So he said, Father, prepare me a body that flows both blood and water, and I'll go and I'll reconcile man back to you. I will redeem man back unto you. So this was a voluntary thing. It was not for no ordinary individual. So the night we're talking about is a night of great pain, of great suffering, a great sacrifice, a great sorrow, and also of great agony. We know that as the words of the song filter into my mind, the Lord gave up his all so that I could be free, so that I could be holy, so that I could tell everyone about him. So that's not a bad price at all. That's not a bad trade-off at all for me after all that he went through. And as I began to tell you and illustrate to you the things that he went through, then you will understand that this redemptive suffering, it was not for him, but it was for you. It was for me. It was for we. It was for us. And you know how sometimes people do things, or the Lord did some things for us, just like parents do, and the child returns back to those things that parent tried to save them from. The parent suffered through that redemptive suffering for that particular child. Now we know that the Lord, He paid, and he made the ultimate sacrifice for you and for myself. It said that he prayed, and he prayed so hard that blood began to trickle from his face, sweat as drops of blood. And scientifically, they say that, medically, they say that's a very, very rare illness. They said that the name of it is hematohidrosis, which means that that's the sweating of the blood. And what it involves is the capillaries that bring forth blood flow to the blood vessels. They rupture. And when they rupture, they exude from the skin as blood. And the result of it is through great stress, great anxiety, or when the body has been traumatized. And we know that tonight, the said night that I'm speaking of, that the Lord was truly, truly traumatized. He was beat all night long. He went to his disciples, Peter and the sons of Zebedee, who was James, and John, the sons of thunder. He went to them, and he asked them, he said, could you not pray? First he asked them to pray. Then he asked them, can you watch? But it said that their eyes were heavy. So he knew that this was a night like the world had never seen. He knew that this redemptive suffering that he was about to go through was a need be, as Brother Brown just reiterated a very few short minutes ago, that these things were a need be for our benefit. He went through all of these things so that we can have the right to the tree of life. Now, if you notice, it all started in the garden, and it all ended in the garden. They say that the Lord is the second Adam. So he had to redeem what the first Adam did, because first Adam, he, you know, for lack of better words, he blew it for us. But thank God, it was somebody that come and that was going to make it right. Somebody that was going to come and say, I got this. Let them in. They with me. But all the things that he asked us to do, to drop all we have, to lift his name on high, to hear his son, are you willing to make that sacrifice? He made the ultimate sacrifice for you. He made the ultimate sacrifice for me. And see, the thing about it is that sometimes we have to be careful, because we associate some words with the same meaning. As I said earlier, we associate celebrate with commemorate. Now, celebration, once again, is a joyous occasion. Now, I'm not joyful that the Lord had to go through what he did for me, this redemptive suffering for you, for me. I'm not joyful, but I am grateful. And in my heart, if it had not been so, then it's a possibility that this conversation would not be taking place. He gave you and me and all of us one thing that we maybe didn't even deserve in the first place, and that's a second chance. Now, wouldn't you like a second chance now to possibly undo all the wrongs and all the transgressions that you have done in your lifetime? Would you like to reconcile with those family members that you have been estranged from, those family members that you no longer have any type of association with, the family member that you used to do some everything with them? And so, as I say, sometimes we confuse words. We look at words and we lump them together. Now, they may have a similar meaning, but they're totally different. Now, we're going to deal right now with the difference between pain and suffering. Now, we know that pain is a physical sensation or signals within your body that tell you something's happening within your body in relation to an event or situation. We know that in the process of us experiencing pain, we know that somewhere down the line that the body has been traumatized. We know that somewhere that there's a certain amount of discomfort. But then we go to the suffering side. See, the suffering side is the mental, or we even go so far as to say the spiritual side of it, where the anguish, where all of these things come into. And see, if you notice, when the doubt, all of these things, if you notice nowadays when people have a lawsuit, they sue for, what, two things, pain and suffering. Because, see, pain will eventually subside if it's treated in the right way. You know, you get your Tylenol, your Motrin, your Dilaudid, your Darvon, whatever, your opioids. These things, they will ease the pain, but all they are really truly is glorified sleeping pills. But see, the suffering, the thoughts that linger on, the doubt that creeps into your mind when you are going through pain, will you be able to overcome this? So if you put the pain and the suffering together, then you begin to have anguish. You begin to have agony. Now, the task that the Lord had this particular night, he knew at the end of the 46th verse, he knew that he was on the verge of being betrayed. And several times during the prayer in the flesh now, in the flesh, he asked the Father, he said, "Lord, if it be permissible, you know, I don't want to go through this, but because you love me, because I love you, I'm going to do this for you. And most importantly, I'm going to do it for them. I'm going to bring about a redemptive suffering that the world has never seen." Now, on occasion, our parents and our grandparents have went through some suffering with the negative thoughts. Even right now, when we fall down on our knees and we pray for those people that have been affected by this virus, this pandemic that they say is going around, then we know that this redemptive suffering is not for us, but it's for the benefit of others. It's for God to know that if I could, I would take this. If I could. So this is a situation sometimes where we have to look outside the box. We have to think about what benefit is it going to bring? But as I said, it's not to our benefit. But this redemptive suffering is the thing that is saving the world, because the Lord thought enough. He thought we were worth saving. He thought we was worth keeping. He sacrificed for us. Now, we have to hold fast to that. We have to hold fast to the thought. We have to hold fast to that agony, that sacrifice, that sorrow that the Lord went through. Now, I can't speak to you, but if it had not been for him, I'm not going to say I'm glad, because if I say I'm glad, then there would be a celebration. I'm never going to celebrate that, because why? It was a very somber, very excruciating thing. You know, when sometimes we think about what our parents went through for us, I don't know about you, but it will bring tears to my eyes when I think about the magnitude of the suffering, the decisions that they had to make, the decisions that I was not aware of that they made in order to keep a roof over my head, to keep food in my mouth, to keep me healthy. Now, if you got children or grandchildren, a husband, a wife, somewhere in your life, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to give up some things that you don't normally want to give up for the good of them. So we know that, as I say, suffering is the interpretation that you tell yourself about the pain, the judgments, the beliefs. And so in dealing with these things, we have anguish. In dealing with these things, it gives us a purpose. It tells us there is a better way. But some things, in order for a woman to have a child, she must go through what? Her labor pains. And you ask yourself, or you may ask her, I mean, after the first baby, the majority of the women that I know, they said, this is my only child. But she had to go through that pain in order to bring life into this world. The Lord had to go through his pain, his suffering, his redemptive suffering. Why? So that we may have life and it more abundantly, that we may have the right. Now, that's one thing about the redemptive suffering. It just stands in proxy for you. But it does not guarantee. If you don't believe me, look at how some of our Christian brothers and sisters are behaving. After all that the Lord went through, after all the sacrifice that our parents have made, we have the nerve to be contrary to those simple things that they tell us to do. Clean up my house. Lord tell us to clean up his house. He said, coming back for a church without a spot or without a blemish. So what is that if that's not saying clean up my house? But see, we come in and, you know, we come in, we tarnish it, and we do the things that's the opposite of the instructions that we were given. And so we're going to keep on moving, and we're going to talk momentarily about the things we do for love. Okay, we look out for one another. We loan each other money that we know that we're not going to get back. Sometimes we go along with each other's foolishness. Sometimes, in the name of love, or we think it is, we give up right for wrong by going along with things that is against God. We'd sacrifice our time. But see, we're going to digress here momentarily, because this story is not about us. It's about the Lord. See, the things that he do for love. He looks out for us. He don't go along with our foolishness. He does not give up the right for the wrong. But what he will do and what he has done, and this is true love right here, we know that John 15, chapter the 13th through the 17th verse, now this is the Lord did for love. It said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The song told us that he sacrificed his life. He laid down his life. Are you willing to lay down your life for him? I'm not talking about murder, but I'm talking about give up those things that he told us not to do. That's laying down your life. To be obedient to his word, that's laying down your life. See, sometimes we say things that may sound so harsh and it may sound so cruel, we say, no, I can't do that. But see, he suffered for us. Now, are you willing to suffer for him? Now, verse 14 and 15 say, yeah, my friends, if you do whatever, so I command you. So we have to be obedient. When you be obedient, you land down your life for the Lord. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends for all things that I have heard of my Father. I have made known unto you. So that's a wonderful invitation that we have just been presented with. He say, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. See, that's what the Lord did for us. That's what we'll do. That's what he'll do for love. Because, see, our love is a graveyard love. Our love is only because we're looking for something to return. It's a selfish love. I'll do this for that. But I was talking to a brother earlier this evening before the program, and I was saying that when it comes down to the Lord and doing for the Lord, we should never keep score, because that's something that we can never win. Because sometimes we get carried away, and we may call a brother or sister frequently, and then all of a sudden we'll say, I ain't calling you no more until you call me. But what is the difference if I call you 100 times, you don't call me one? We talked. We communicated. You may have other things that you were doing. You may be distracted. So the Lord didn't keep score. He just went through that redemptive suffering. Not to mention, he laid down his life. He got beat all night long. He got slapped. He got scourged. He got mocked. And these from people that call themselves Christian. He got pierced in the side. He got mistreated. He did that all for little old me. And I'm just so completely overwhelmed that someone thought enough of me. As the song was being played, tears were rolling down my face because I got involved completely in the words. And I'm saying to myself, I'm not worthy. But guess what? He thought that I was worthy. He thought that each and every last one of us was worthy. Say, no greater love hath he that laid down his life for a friend. And that's what he did. He went through all of that suffering. He went through the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed, and he suffered, and he anguished, and he was betrayed. Why? For me. Why? For you. Now, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself, but this is going to make me a better person. And it says over in Isaiah, it says, by what? It say he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53 and 5. It also lets us know that he was bruised. Lets me know that he was battered. Lets me know that he went through some things here. It said, Isaiah 53, 5, it said, but he was wounded for our transgressions, for you. Let's say, redemptive suffering for you. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and our immoral behavior. He paid the price for it. The chastisement of us was upon, and with his stripes we are healed. And there's something else, that I'm the sinner, but the Lord got whooped for it. He got beat for it. He got mistreated for it. He died for that. Now that gives us something to think about when we commemorate, when we memorialize all these things that the Lord did for us. As I said, I can't speak for you, but I'm appreciative. I'm grateful. I'm humbled. All of these things because he thought I was worth saving. He thought I was worth keeping. He sacrificed his life. Now, the only way some people, I'm not talking about these Christians that listen tonight, but the only way some people are going to sacrifice their life, they won't do it intentional, but they'll do it unintentional. You know, like somebody running into a burning building and helping somebody out of that building, but they don't make it out. Now, they sacrificed their life for that individual. But if they had known in advance, you might not make it out. But I'm talking about for millions of people that around the world, and they're still sacrificing. He's still doing that redemptive suffering. He's still going through a lot with the things that's going on. So my brothers and my sisters, it behooves us to pay attention to that redemptive suffering, because it was done with one purpose and one purpose in mind, and that would bring about reconciliation with the Father and his children, those of us that have went astray, those of us that have took a hold of the gospel plow and looked back, those of us who made promises that we couldn't keep, those of us, as Brother Brown would say, that have backslid. So now is a good time for self-examination for all the listeners this evening. We know over there in Corinthians, when the Lord is taking his supper, he says, before you take that supper, he says, so let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that drink of that cup and eat of that bread. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So before we partake of this bread and this wine tonight, examine yourself. I don't know about you, but I feel unworthy. And I can't get worthy on my own. But the one that went through that redemptive suffering this evening, he can help me. He can prepare me. He can point me in the right direction. He can show me how to love my neighbor. He can teach me how to treat my wife. He can show me how to be respectful to other people's property. He can tell me how not to covet. He can tell me those things, because, see, I can't, because man is too greedy within himself, too selfish within himself to think about others in the same way that the Lord did for us. So I thank you so much for this pre-holiday opportunity to bring forth God's word. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be better in all ways, because that sacrificed the things that he went through for me. Now, I know he did it for you, but I'm going to personalize. I'm going to say for me. I know it's not for me only, but when you do things for a group of people, each individual go away from there. You know, it might be plural. People is plural, but me is singular. Who looked out for little old me? I'm the beneficiary. Say, by his stripes we're healed. I'm the beneficiary of the residue from those stripes. I didn't have to go through it, but he did. I didn't have to anguish, but he did. I didn't have to make that sacrifice, but he did. I didn't have to go through that great sorrow, but he did. And I want to make it worth it, worth his while, that this soldier right here was obedient. Say, most sound people, you hear people say, you are faithful over a few things. But I'm trying to be faithful over a few more things, because his spirit would not thrive with me at all times. And when it do, and when it don't, then we're all subject to some type of mischief. So I thank you. Thank you all. I especially thank the Lord for his redemptive suffering. We saved the world, and we're still a work in progress. We still have a few more prayers and a few more sermons to pray and a few more sermons to hear before we put our swords in the sandbanks of time to study war no more. So, my brothers and my sisters, I just thank you. I'm just grateful tonight. I'm humble tonight. I'm somber tonight, because it was a wonderful thing that was done. And at the end of the poem that was read, it say, that same man that we praised, that same man that we loved, he died on the cross for you, and especially you. And see, when I said that, when the Lord gave it that especially you, that was pertaining to me. That singled me out. So I thank you, and I now turn you over back into the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Deacon Mother Cox, we thank you for that powerful word on tonight. I pray that everyone that tuned in tonight and have heard the word on tonight, I pray that you were blessed by the word on tonight. Deacon Mother Cox, we want to say to you, continue to be the man that God has called you to be. You continue to stand on God's word and teach and preach his word as he leads and guides you, because he is most definitely using you like he's using so many people in the earth. You continue to stand in holy boldness and declare the goodness of the Lord, that others can hear the word of God through you, that those that are not saved will be saved, and the backsliders will come back to the fold. That the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified even more as God continues to use you, as you continue to be faithful to God. We thank you again tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that powerful word on tonight, a much-needed word for such a time as this. So on tonight, we thank God that we are now, those that are saved in Jesus' name, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we are seeds of Abraham. And so we can thank God for Jesus Christ, that he is our personal Lord and Savior, our risen Lord and Savior, our soon coming King, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, his beloved Son, in whom God said himself, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus Christ, just like Deacon Marvin Cox said in his message, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to suffer for us. He didn't have to come down from glory. And he didn't have to go through all the things that he went through for us so that we could be saved. But because he loved God, the Father, first, then he loved mankind. And he took it upon himself to come down in the form of flesh as a baby. And he paid the sacrifice. He paid our sin debt with his sinless blood. He suffered. He died. He was spit upon. He was wounded in all types of transgressions. And all of our transgressions and everything, all of our sins were poured upon him. And when he was nailed to the cross, all of our sins and transgressions and everything that's not like God that we had in our lives was nailed to the cross. And God, that because of Jesus Christ, we are redeemed on tonight. So continue to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So we ask that, I'm asking all the listeners on tonight, every faithful doer of God's word, not just hearers only, but every faithful doer around the world, continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, because someone is still spiritually blind. They may be in your family. They may be a co-worker, a neighbor, or a friend, or someone you know may be still spiritually blind. So you are the light. You are the light that shines before them in their darkness and their sinfulness. And so you and I, we are to continue to stand on God's word and let them know that it's in the name of Jesus Christ that they can be saved. And it's our job to be the light in this dark, sinful world today, that people will be able to see God through us, to see Jesus Christ through us, and the good works through us. And that when they see our good works, they will glorify God the Father in heaven. So we thank God for the word on tonight. I pray that you were blessed by the word. And I know that it has not gone out void. It's going to accomplish everything God has set out for it to do, even on tonight. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. We thank God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have all power in heaven and earth. It's in your hands. You sit high and you look low. We thank you that you are not like man. You are a faithful God. You cannot lie. You cannot change. You cannot fail. You don't slumber nor sleep. So we just thank you for who you are. We love you. We bless your name on tonight. We ask that you will continue to move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, throughout the land. Continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in their bodies. Continue to comfort and strengthen the bereaved all over the land. Let them remember and know that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your joy, your peace. Let them know that with the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. And let them know that, Heavenly Father, even though they have lost loved ones, they can still stand on your word. They can still be doers of your word. They can still lead others to Jesus Christ, even in the midst of sorrow. I'm a witness that you will still use them even while they are bereaving, to let others know that you are real, Jesus is real, and we need to continue to stand on your word and stand on your promises, Heavenly Father, no matter what we're going through in this life, because you said that in this life that we will have trials and we will have tribulations, because it rains on the just as well as the unjust, and no one is exempt. You have no respect of persons. So we thank you that you are in total control and you know exactly what you're doing. So we just bless your name on tonight. We ask that you will continue to have your way in our lives, in every believer's life, individually, and as a corporate body of believers all over the land. That you alone will be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until the next time, remember that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, we're going to do what? We're going to continue to give God praise. Good night.
Your life for me. Give you praise. I give you praise. I will rejoice. I will sing. Almighty Savior, come on, my soul loves thee.